ろ。
Hi folks, this is Link from the Linux Link Tech Show. Have you ever thought to yourself, I have a question for these guys? Or I wonder if they would review my product? Or why don't they talk about this? Or maybe I sure would like to support these fellas somehow? Or just, how do I get in touch with them? Well, the easy answer is to email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. You can let us know any questions, suggestions, or information you might have, and perhaps even get mentioned on the show. Email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net and let us know how we're doing and whether or not you enjoy the show. And also catch us on IRC every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern by pointing your favorite IRC client to our server, thelinuxlink.net, and joining channel Pound Tech Show. Hope to see you there.
This is Pete from Wisconsin, and when I'm not milking cows, I'm listening to the Linux Link Tech Show.
Hi, this is Dale Marnankle all the way from the frigid lands of Minnesota. And when it's too cold to go outside, I listen to the Linux Link Tech Show.
Yeah, that's what they say.
But are they listening now?
I don't know. Are they listening now? They say they listen to the Linux Link Tech Show.
Well, there's seven people listening. Seven people listening.
Seven. That's a good number.
Seven.
There's six seven. XMMS clients and one Real Media Player client.
Seven.
Yeah.
Seven.
Hi.
Seven.
Everybody.
Seven is ten.
You know who I am, and you probably know who the other two are, too, so we'll just skip that. And welcome to...
And I'll wake up here all of a sudden.
Yeah, welcome to the show, and you know what show it is, too, so I'll skip that. What you probably don't know is it's show...
It's in a skipping mood tonight.
Yeah, it's been a long day. It's show 52.
And y'all know what we talk about on a weekly basis.
Yeah,
so we'll skip that.
We'll just skip that, and then we play that bad music. We'll skip that, too, and thanks a lot. See you next week.
Somebody got a crank on tonight.
Yeah, it's show 52, right?
52. 52. One solid year of shows.
Legitimately one solid year of shows. Well, it was legitimately before, but now it's actually one for every week.
Listen. Yeah.
So, if you want to listen one a week, you can, of course. Well, if you want to listen to 2 weeks, of course, now you can have an entire year because we plan on keeping going with this as long as we can.
As long
so
as
we can,
yeah.
Aggravate each other and you. I had a really crappy day today, me, myself, and I, because it is now fall and allergy season.
Oh, yeah, that's starting to get real good around here. I think
which means...
Last time I saw, they were up in, like, the mediums
that. For the last 2 days, my nose has been going nonstop. And today, all day, I had one of those kicking sinus headaches going on. You know, the ones that ride right over your eyeball and make you blind and can't stand to listen to sound.
I usually get those while I'm driving.
Light and all of that happy horse pucky.
That was you when...
Yeah, it was me. I was doing it all day today.
Today?
Yeah, and it's still going. it's still going. I got it over my left eye here. Dan thinks I'm like winking at him and giving him the eye, but in reality, it's just the
headache.
It's just
the evil eye.
It's, you know, he's over there making smoochy lips at me, you know, but really, it's just my headache. Tried to sleep it off before the show. That didn't work. Tried to eat something. Maybe that would go away. But, you know, my wife got home.
Nothing but, like, a dark room helps.
Yeah, well, I did attempt to eat something, but, like, my wife went grocery shopping and stuff today and didn't get home until, like, 15 minutes before I had to leave. So I was, like, cramming four forkfuls of stuff and food in my mouth before I ran out the door. I'll get some later. I'll be all right. Announcements.
Announcements.
Those of you who aren't listening now, but are going to be picking up the show later, boy, are you going to be surprised, because I'm not sure it's going to be there, at least not on my server. Because I keep getting body slammed, and I've been slammed so bad the last 2 days, I have not been able to get my email.
I was wondering why I couldn't get to your site.
Yeah, it's been, somebody really been pegging me good. So, I think I am going to pull it off. Pull my archives off and leave it to the mirrors for a while and see what happens with that and see if anybody complains. If you guys have any trouble getting the show and stuff, just let me know, and you know, well, I'm going to continue to try and make some different arrangements, but I do not believe that I'm going to host a downloadable version of the archives on my site, at least for a day or four.
Well, the mirrors have been pretty reliable.
They have been, and I'll tell you what, both mirrors that we have, both full mirrors are from the, yeah, they are. They're both in the UK, and, you know, I can, honestly, I can download stuff from those mirrors as fast as I can get it from my server, because I only have a 360K up or something stream. So, which is why it kills my... kills my stuff.
Why more than like 10 people?
Not that I can't download and stuff like on my DSL when someone's downloading the show, I can download fine. The problem is I can't tell any site what I want because my entire bandwidth upstream is being used for, you know, five people sucking away on the MP3 files on the archive, so
which is good because we do want you to suck down MP3 files.
Yeah, we definitely
just not off of our machines, right?
Has to be something, some kind of amicable deal we can get going on here. I was attempting to, and if anybody out there wants to help, I know Pat is helping us out a great deal, and I get to that in a minute. But if anybody out there really wants to help us out, here's what you can do. You can be the
download an archive off of Link's site.
The designated person or persons to try and put the archives up on archive.org. Now it is possible to do that. However, last time I tried, it took me 3 days to get one of our shows listed up on there. I don't even know if it's listed up on there now. Anybody want to check real quick?
I'll look.
I'll keep talking. All right. Yeah, I was gonna you know, use that for another mirror, put our stuff up on archives.org. But unfortunately, it takes like 3 days to get the damn thing listed, and you guys are kind of losing out on it. But if we could get somebody to just methodically go through the old shows and put them up on archives.org, that's a repository that's going to be there for a long time, and that means that, you know, you guys, if you want to download a back episode or something like that, you can go there and get it instead of cranking off of one of the people who are kind enough to give us some bandwidth now for the newer episodes. You know what I mean?
Why does archives.org resolve to geekglobalseeker.com?
Is it archives.org or archives.net or com? I think it's archives.org or archive.org.
Archive.
Archive.org. A-R-C-H-I-V-E.
Okay, that's a little better.
Archive.
Hit it all at once here.
Archive.org. That's the place. And you just hit the little search buttony thing, and let's try TLTS and see what we get. Yes, Tech Show 9/15/2004, people. There it is, right there, with two downloads even, and it wasn't me, honest. So, Somebody downloaded it. So, yeah, that would be really cool. If you guys want to do that, by all means, man, you can go right ahead and put that stuff up. Put the tech show shows up. If you want to put them up under our, like, guys, you had to create an account to upload stuff. You want to put it up under our account, please simply contact me, and I will give you our account name and password. Contact us, myself, or, well,
hey,
any
I'm,
of us. We
I'm
all get the same email address.
Contacting you right now. What is it?
Contact me. It's TLLTS, man.
All right.
But contact us at techshow at thelinuxlink.net. TECHSHOW, no space, at thelinuxlink.net. And that's our email address that Dan and I and Alan all get. And we'll hook you up with the username and password. You can, stick the stuff right up there. We would really, really appreciate it. And that's going to help out a considerable bit. The other thing is, if you have some bandwidth that you'd like to share, a little download space, let me know. We'd be happy to have another mirror, We're not going to say
you never
no.
have too many of those.
That's right. What we really need is a stateside mirror now, because we have two UK mirrors. And even though I have never had a problem getting either one of them, and they both, they work all the time, and the guys that run them are just fantastic people, and, good.
We thank them very, very, very much.
That's right, man. We kissed their butt. There you go. If you're in the U.S. and you want to do us a mirror, please do. Again, contact us at, actually with thelinuxlink.net and hook us up. Share the wealth. And the other thing I wanted to mention was Patrick. Patrick, the man, is going to hook us up. Patrick and whoever else, like if you hit our forums, you're going to see Patrick talking about this. The rest of you guys, as you're listening to the back shows, if you would be so kind as to coordinate a little bit with Pat. Pat is going through our episodes, and he's making a timeline for each episode and what we're talking about and stuff like that. And this is going to be a really nice thing to have so that everybody can, kind of look and see what we're talking about at what time on the show, on which show, and, index it up for us. It's something that, as we were doing the 50th episode review thing, this is something that I really, really
just
wish
thought about
I had.
It then.
Yeah, I really, really wish that I had that then. But the little topic listing, that's going to help considerably, and that's going to be real nice for other people who want to come and check out the shows and see what we were ranting and raving about at that particular show. And Pat, thanks a lot, man. And Pat also threw us one bit, and I am going to say bitching picnic. For the
tech
show people. Yeah, tech show people / lug people who never show up for anything.
Not even the tech show.
Yeah. Little animosity there.
We don't know that. Maybe
lug people
a lug listener
suck.
Or two.
Yeah, we had one lug listener that showed up. Pat, of course, showed up, but, he's a tech show listener and a lug participant, but it was his house, so he didn't have to go far to show up. We had one other lug member that showed up, and of course the tech show people showed up, and we had a blast and drank beer, and the rest of you are weenies.
Wait, what tech show? Just the tech show hosts?
Yeah, the
up.
Tech show hosts.
You said people. I thought I meant
members
too.
Us.
I know, some audience members would have made it if we provided them with a plane ticket.
Yeah.
Question came in off the chat about how much. What kind of monthly usage, I guess, would it take with regards to the mirror?
I
don't know.
And, it's a really tough question. I really don't know. What's a good way to tell?
How many downloads you got of each show?
Yeah, but that's a hard push too. Really, I'm getting I bet somewhere in between 300 to 500 megs of download per month. We'll say as a good guesstimate. I mean, I get a lot more than that on my site, but I have a lot more content than that. So I'm going to say somewhere between 300 and 500 megs a month I get downloaded off my site for the tech show. That's probably it. It's probably a good estimate. So,
but 300-400 megs a month?
Month, yeah. Given that each show,
we could do.
Each show is, you know,
we could just go get a colo
megs or something like
colo,
that.
Colo box.
Sure.
Wonder how much that runs.
I'm wondering how much you're going to pay for it, Dan.
I already shot out $100 a month to do the show to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah.
But how much would a colo be?
It depends on, you know, it depends on how much bandwidth you need to have and all of that happy horse pucky.
Little server over there at rackspace.com.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what the price mm-hmm. is.
Money, 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 money.
Rockspace.com.
Baby. But yeah, basically, you know, that's... I don't want to steal the whole show and just, you know, rag on stuff the whole show. What do you guys got to talk about? Alan?
Not a whole lot. I haven't been doing a heck of a lot.
Huh?
Playing
Listen,
around.
Hear the crickets? Alan? Alan? Alan?
Oh, you're there. Right. Actually, I picked
Excuse
up one
me.
Of these Creative Labs Muvu. I guess that's how you pronounce it. It's a little MP3 player, which is really neat. And I have to hold it, otherwise I can't talk about it. It's really neat.
Well, you're showing everybody. They just,
yeah,
you know, it's not
you
on video,
this?
And they can't see it. That's all.
Can't you see this?
Trust me, it looks really cool.
Yeah, it looks really cool. Actually, I've been using it because I've been doing some of that iPodding. I've been downloading some of those iPod feeds on it. And even though I don't have an iPod, and I don't think Dan's going to buy me one for Christmas, so I had to go with the next best thing. That was a little MP3 player. But I got a little. There's a little script called Get Enclosures that I. Forget off the top of my head who wrote it. One of the guys. I'll dig it up here in a little
Except
bit.
Is that Pete? Pete from Raster Web.
No.
Did he do that one?
No, and he does Evil Genius Chronicles, and I can't remember his name off the top of my head. On it, I'm sorry about screwing that up. But anyways, he wrote a little Perl script, which goes out and downloads, you know, whatever feed you want. You know, you put in the feed a file, and it goes down and downloads the feeds. And so what I do every night when I get home. Cruise around the web, I run this little script, and I transfer them over, and the next morning on the way to work, I listen to the stuff in the car.
It just sucks them right into your MP3
well,
player.
Well, it sucks them to a file, and then I just pull them over into the MP3 player.
Cool.
On it. Not quite that. Severe. If you had an iPod, it would actually drop it right on.
But
the iPod.
You know, you were talking how many megs? 256 megs that is?
Yeah, it's about 4 hours worth of stuff.
And that plays it and everything. Like, you don't have to have any other kind of...
No,
it's got a little FM radio where it plays
it. It's got
it.
A little FM radio in it if you're so inclined to listen to the crap on FM radio. But basically, it's you just plug your headphones into it and
See, now,
it
that's
in
not a, that's not a bad price, especially
looks,
if you can
about
use
the size
that.
Of a pack, or not even a pack, of a...
Yeah.
A big lighters, basically.
Yeah, and yeah, that plugs right into your USB port and acts as a storage media.
You can actually store regular files on
See,
it.
See, now
well.
That's where I was going with that. That is a damn good idea because not only do you have a cool little MP3 player to carry around with you, right? But if you run into something where, like, you need some quick file storage,
you
can jack right
apart,
into
yeah,
that
and plug it right in.
You got 256 megs of file space.
Yeah.
You could, you know, carry in your pocket back and forth home with you or something. That's not too bad, man. I mean, I have one of those. What do I have? I have a jump drive secure. Okay? It's a 128 meg jump drive secure USB dongle fee. That cost me, I think at the time, $40 or $45. So, you know, that's not bad. If you double
Slusher
the price of that.
The script.
There you go. Dave. Good man.
Look at this. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
What? No, go ahead.
He's waking up over there.
No, I was just saying. Okay, now. I don't know. What is that? Okay, Nowton? Okay, Nowton? Oh, Nowton.
Okay, Nowton.
Oh, Nowton? I don't know. Oh, no. Tion. I don't know. Person on the chat. Horrible with pronunciation. Anyway, he's got a virtual server over at tectonic.net, and their services start at $15 a month for 50 gig bandwidth and 3 gigabytes of disk space. on a Red Hat box.
That's cool.
Virtual.
$15 I'm like, that's not bad.
Yeah, 50,
that ain't bad at all.
50 gigs bandwidth. That means data transfers.
Right.
We just, as long as we don't go above 50 gigs. Now, for another $20, you go up the next level, which is 100 gigabits a month. 100 gigabits per month. I don't know. I mean, if we each threw $5 in, there's $15 a month. Have the archives hosted off over there.
That's not, no, that's, he says, and that's month to month too, huh? That's pretty good.
Right.
I really expected it to be much more, but then I never really looked into that sort of thing, so.
Well. Well, you might
now
have
what,
to
I guess something like that. There wouldn't be a problem. There wouldn't be a problem with us, you know, putting stuff for download off of something like that.
Why?
I'm just wondering.
No, I don't
That's what it's
so.
There for, right? Because they talk about basically web hosting and stuff. E-commerce site.
That's pretty much, you know.
I thought for the second there you were coughing about the e-commerce. E-commerce.
Yeah. We should look into doing that. Alan, sign us up, man. Come on.
Yeah. You know he's got to be good for something, right?
Something.
Hook us up, man.
$15 a month. Yeah, you know, think about that, though. It would relieve your
Well, that's, you know,
site.
That's definitely my
it
problem.
It would add another mirror. And then...
add a good mirror, because, you know, if... You know, what kind of... I wonder what kind of outgoing bandwidth they have. I'm assuming that they have real outgoing bandwidth for, you know, a colo. They don't... You know what I mean? They're not going to colo and have, like, a 320K outstream like I do. Chances are, you know, they're going to be able to host some real stuff on there.
Yeah, so, I mean, we should really seriously look into that.
All right, I think that's
and if
idea.
We do that...
I'm ready. I give the first
that,
month, man.
If we did that, we could then really start pushing out, like, the iPodder thing.
Yeah.
Which...
Yeah, I put together a little script, a feed
for it.
Yeah,
and
we
got to
move it somewhere
actually,
so people can see it. But
yeah, but we also have to, and when we do that, we also have to move it someplace
where people can actually
download it without
can get it.
Yeah,
because I mean, when you start putting it on sites like that, then you know it gets a little bigger.
Hey, man, I'm all for that. Like I said, I'll pay the first month. I don't have a problem with that at all. Someone want to set it up? I got the first month covered. Right here, right now. Because that will, you know, significantly relieve my bandwidth problems that I'm experiencing. But still, I still would really love somebody to volunteer or somebody's to volunteer to upload the old shows to archive.org, not archives, but archive. org, because they're, you know, that's a highly accessible place kind of thing going on there. And
what do we want?
It looked like we got two downloads already, and I didn't even tell anybody. So,
what would you prefer?
What would I prefer?
We got to take a vote here. Fedora
Blonde,
Core 1,
brunette or redhead?
Debian 3.0, or Red Hat Enterprise Linux.
I would say Debian.
Yeah, Debian.
Bum, bum, bum.
Just because I had, you know, I had this thing with like all the little.
Are you ordering it already, Dan?
I'm looking at it.
Gooey things. But all right, yeah. So that brings up a good thing. But actually, it's 25 after, so I'm gonna play some music now, and then we'll come back, and I'll talk about the good thing that I was gonna talk about. I know Dan has a couple things to talk about too, but you know, screw him. So what I'm gonna do. What I'm going to do, man, is I'm going to play... What do you think, guys? We're going to take a really, really fast poll here. We're going to play Carry Me Away by Hi-Fi-Five or Neuro Disney's Feel the Pain.
The first one.
Carry Me Away is like a... It's like a... What kind of music? It's a kind of like, almost like a folky kind of guitar. It's really good. It's a good song. Neuro Disney is like hard metal, heavy metal, thrash kind of which is really good, too.
Melodic death metal.
Yeah, melodic death metal. Yeah, that's what we, I was talking about that earlier today. So quick. Everybody, first jump one. To the IRC and tell me. Tell me, somebody. Carry
what?
Me Away by High Five Five or Neuro Disney's Feel the Pain. Brian says metal. We're doing metal. He's our listener. Sorry, you know, I mean, it's just... What?
You registered a bunch of info domains.
I did a bunch of them, yes.
Do we have one that we can use for this?
Yeah.
What?
I can register another one, man. What do you want?
Well, I need one, like, now.
Dun, 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 dun. Can use TLLTS.info.
All right.
Which actually points to our page, but, you know, I can change it.
All right.
Isn't that the problem?
Who does?
No, I said it's not a problem. Where you go? Freak? All right, Dan's got to go do his thing. Whatever his thing is doing, he's doing some kind of thing. So we're gonna play... piss on. We're going to play Carry Me Away by High Five Five. Just, you know, because Alan's sitting behind me and he's going to hurt me if I don't. Bye.
No, not really.
Drive a lifetime.
Okay. All right.
Shut up, Link.
Yeah. All right. What else was I going to talk about? Evidently, Dan has just done us up and signed us up for some colo space. Woohoo! Now you check this out, and it is indeed 50 gig download a month kind of thing.
50 gig
bandwidth. Okay, so if we, you know.
But then it's $2 per gig if we go over.
Oh, they don't, like, cut it off or something like that?
No, it doesn't.
Ooh, that
but
sucks.
If we ever want to, we could.
Is there a way for us to, like, check and make sure?
Yeah, they have monitoring.
Good.
That's when you log in and you move the directory somewhere else.
Exactly. Now you're talking. That's exactly what I was thinking. It's getting close to 50 gigs. We're just chopping it sucker off and, you know, changing the files so they're not downloadable or something.
Start it over again next month.
That's right, baby. Anyway, what was I going to talk about?
We can manage it through Webmin.
Hey, cool.
No. You could just go to the command line, too.
Yeah,
SSH.
That's even better. What was I going to talk about? Did I talk last week about my little TV recording
endlessly
stuff?
Endlessly.
No, I don't think. Wait, no, wait. Why don't we go to the
what?
I think you did mention it a little bit, but we didn't
see
really talk too much
what Pat
it.
Said we talked about last week. Because he has it up there. No,
it was an email, right?
You did it, an email, and I think you did it at the picnic. But I don't see anything about you talking about that.
Okay, but here's what I'm doing, right? Like, you know all these guys are doing the TiVo kind of thing? It was Myth TV and Freevo, and there's... You know, a whole bunch of knockoffs, Knop Myth and all those things. Basically, it's you get a TV tuner card, you stick it in your Linux box, and people want to, like, use it to record shows when they're not there, right? Makes sense.
You got it.
Well, I've been trying to do that. And Dan and I both have actually been trying to do that for a long time and have not had a whole lot
of... Given up.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I wanted to do the video editing.
Right, but you first have to get the damn video.
Right.
Remember you were having problems getting the video and it was choppy and the sound.
It's hard to do
that
with a TV tuner car, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, it turns out it's not as hard as you think, because, like, I got this new TV tuner card, which happens to be the cheapest damn thing you can find. It's a Win TV Go card. Okay? Win
Hoppage.
TV Go. Yeah, I think so.
Wait, new?
Well, yeah.
You went out and bought another one?
Win TV Go.
I thought you bought that, like, a couple months ago.
Yeah, well, that's the one I'm talking about. It's a Win TV Go card, right? And I have a 950 megahertz Duron.
$49?
Machine, yeah.
Best Buy?
Yep. I know, I got a Circuit City, I think. Maybe
Circuit
it was Best
City.
Buy. I don't
There's
know.
A new Circuit City going in. You see that?
No, where?
Over down in 33, where that Texas Steakhouse is.
Really?
There's Circuit City going in right now.
Oh, outstanding. That's even
So now you don't
City,
have to travel.
New Borders.
I don't have to go to
Barnes & Noble.
Barnes
and Noble.
I don't have to go to stinky
weekend.
New Jersey now.
The 6th it opens
right.
up.
Huh?
The 6th.
Yeah, the 6th it opens up, which is that when our next show is?
Yeah.
Oh, we might have to do an on-location spot, man, at the new Borders. But anyway.
Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, the new Barnes & Noble, excuse me.
And a Lowe's.
By the way, I digress. I've been trying to do this for a long time, and like I said, Dan was trying to do it too, and just wasn't
Still
working
trying
out.
To do it.
Yeah, it wasn't working out. Like, you get choppy video, and the audio won't sync up and shit like that. But anyway, I got this new card and put it in because I broke my old card. And got it all hooked up eventually. And decided, you know, and in the interim, like, I had upgraded to Slack 10 and everything, too. Yeah, and I decided that I would give it a shot, right? So I'm looking through some of the scripts that different people have to do this sort of thing on the Internet. And I come across, well, I've been looking for a long time at Russ Pavlicek's scripts that he has up for his PVR. I don't even know what the URL is. Let me get that and stick it in the IRC log. But anyway, Russ has, you know, his little script that he built to record TV stuff. You know, it's nothing real complicated. Like, Myth has, you know, downloads the channel listings and the whole, and has the little superimposed on the screen and a whole, you know, bit like that. This is just a simple little thing where, like, you run, you know, an at command or a cron job, and you call this particular program, tell it what channel you want and how long you want it to record, right? Which is really... Sorry, Dan, I think it just...
Earbuds
off. Which is really all I really wanted to do, right? I just, you know, want something to record a couple of things when I'm not there so that I can actually watch the two shows on TV that are actually worth having TV for anymore. Which, of course, are always on when I'm not home, right? So, I try this thing and I set it up, and at first it doesn't work. So, all right, I'll try a different command. And I finally get Streamer. To work. The problem with Streamer is that Streamer by default like captures to this gigantic AVI file. It's just huge. I think it captures it in RAW format or something. But it's like 5 gigs an hour.
I know. It's huge.
You know, it's just monstrous. And I get, from what I hear from other people, like, that's an acceptable size. To me, that's too damn big.
What's your hard drive size? 20 gigs?
No, I got like a 40 gig drive.
What are you waiting for, man? They're like standard 130 gigs or standard.
Yeah, well, he's standard and not having any money, too. You know, I'm an IT worker. They don't pay them anymore. But anyway, so that, you know,
Let me ask you a question. Is your hard drive new? Did you buy it new, or did you, like, it fall into your lap through either work or some other resource that it was a second?
No, it's brand new.
Because, like, just about all my hard drives are second-hand hard drives.
No, it's brand new. I only have
hard drive sizes.
Isn't a lot of this stuff in here?
Yeah, everything in here is basically second-hand.
No, I only have a couple of things on.
I have
a couple of drives that aren't new.
That was given to me second-hand. I don't have anything brand new in here, I don't think.
No, I used to.
Except this laptop.
Yeah, I have some miscellaneous equipment that every now and then I'll pick up something that someone's given away or. I'm throwing away at work, then I can fix it, you know, or something like that.
Link gets in this new brand new Duathlon.
Yeah, sure.
Machine. He's like, dude, we're throwing this out.
We're throwing it away. Yeah, I know.
It was running Windows for a week and it got spyware on it. Now
that's
it's too
right.
slow.
It's
we're
XP.
Throw it
look
out.
At it. It sucks. It's only 2.4 gigahertz. But no, so I put it on there, and then, you know, the file size is gigantic, huge. And so I'm thinking to myself, right? First, I think there's got to be a way for me to do this. And make the file size smaller. And I hunt all over the place, and there's a couple other programs. There's FFmpeg and MEncoder, and I can't get MEncoder to work. FFmpeg won't pull off the tuner natively in a decent format. Like, it's choppy, and I'm losing frames, and the voice is out of sync. And there's transcode, and transcode won't pull off the tuner card, or I can't get it to, or something like that. So that, you know, that all sucked. And then I started thinking, well, you know, I'll take the AVI file that I have, the 5 gig file, and I'm going to re-encode it to make it smaller. All right? And I do the same thing. I go through, you know, I go through transcode and I go through FFmpeg. And I'm trying to use, you know, the only audio, the visual codec, the only video codec I can get to work is MPEG-2. Like, that's the baddest-ass thing that I can get going. So what I do with that is compress that AVI file down, and I'm getting it down to, for a half hour or for an hour program, it's like 1,200 megs, right? Which is way better than 5 gigs.
Yeah.
Okay? So I'm starting to get happy with it. I'm like, yeah, I can take an hour, chop it in half, put it on a couple of CDs. And I keep going back and forth with this guy on my lug list, and he's telling me, you know, all his commands are using MPEG-4 compression.
What guy on your lug list?
I can't...
Who?
What was his name?
Patrick?
Yeah, not the Pat that you're thinking of.
I thought that was the Pat. Are you sure?
Not Pat Davila, no.
Oh.
It's a different Pat. And anyway, I'm going back and forth with him, and he's using MPEG-4 compression. I cannot get this to work, MPEG-4 compression. Obviously, I don't have it or something. So I piss around and spend like 2 days looking around on the net to find out where I can get this MPEG-4 codec. I guess it's an live AVI file or something like that, right? Some obscure, like you would look at AVI file library for MPEG-4 codec. But anyway, I finally found it and got it on there. And then, you know, reassessed my whole method of doing things. Actually, no, I didn't reassess it then. I immediately went and did another streamer thing, recorded at the 5 gigs, then used the MPEG-4 codec when I used FF MPEG to compress it. And it compressed down really nice,
mm-hmm.
right? So I'm thinking, ooh, this is the way to go. But it was still bugging me that there's got to be a way to do this, compressing it on the fly, so that you don't have to do like a 2 or 3 step, because I was doing that 3-step thing. Yeah. I was downloading the thing to this huge AVI. Damn, you stink, man.
No, I think I stink in my pants. That's horrible.
If I start sounding like Darth Vader, it's because I'm wearing a mask to this freaking, I'm wearing a, you know, one of those big face masks. Yeah. I used to work in a fire company. You know what? I really wish that I kept my SCBA gear. But anyway. So I'm downloading this gigantic 5-gig file, and then I go through, and you have to do a 2-pass encode on this
in order to get good quality. Where are you downloading it from?
From my TV tuner card. I'm creating it.
Oh, you're okay. From the TV tuner card. I thought you were, like, downloading it from us. I'm like, I thought
no,
you
no,
were
no,
creating
no.
it from your...
Creating it from my TV tuner card. Make this big file, and then I compress it with FFmpeg to MPEG-4. See, now Dan's even gagging on his own stink. To FFmpeg using MPEG-4, which is DivX, right? And I finally get it done. It's getting down to a good size now, right? It's going down to like 600 megs for an hour, which is really good. You know, that's really outstanding. And then it kind of hits me, well, you know, I got to be able to do this all in one shot without having to do a 3-pass, you know, record and code it twice. And I go looking around on the net again, and I touch again on Russ Pavlicek's PVR page. And right in there, he's got this nice little... Of course, it didn't work for me before, because I didn't have, you know, I didn't have MPEG-4, which he has stuck in his command, his M encoder command. So I try that this time, and now since I have, you know, MPEG-4 video codec, works like a top. Do a couple of little adjustments to that, man, and I'm getting an hour of video DivX MPEG-4 compression. Hour of video is coming out to about 400, just less than 400 megs.
That's good.
And it's the quality is really, really good. Like, it's completely watchable quality, right? And, you know, the little script is going on, and today I grabbed 8 episodes of, and probably I'm dating myself here. There used to be a show long, long ago called Kolchak, The Night Stalker.
Yeah, I remember that one. I haven't seen that in years.
Yeah, me either. But it used to be. Well, that was a cool show. It's about this newspaper reporter guy, and he, like, goes out and reports on all these weird stories, and he always gets involved with some monster or some crap like that that he reports about, or some kind of phenomenon. This is like way 70s precursor to the X-Files, right? Anyway, there was 8 of them on in a row today on the Sci-Fi Channel. So, of course, I couldn't watch it because I was at work, so I made sure I recorded them up and I can go home and watch them.
Are you doing the encoding in the DivX on the fly, you said?
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm.
And how much system resources does that take?
Don't have a freaking clue.
Top broken on your machine?
It can. I'm not there to watch it. See, that's the thing. All I know is, like, it works. My machine's not doing anything else at the time.
Why touch it if it works?
Yeah, it's working. My machine's not doing anything else at the time, so it really doesn't matter to me. The only thing it's doing at the time that it's recording those programs is just recording the programs for me. Because it's like my main workstation at home. And I don't run anything on that when I'm not sitting in front of the computer. So, unless I, you know, have a compile started or something like that. But if I did that, I wouldn't, you know, record from the TV tuner card and try it and encode it into DivX, too.
Sweet, sweet, sweet.
But it's really cool, man. It's awesome. I got home today and I was
able to... In an hour video and how many megs?
400, just under 400, 398 something.
So then theoretically, you could fit an hour and a half movie on a VCD.
I tweaked it up a little bit, and I might tweak it up a little bit more so I get an hour in about 500 or 600 megs. Just give a little bit more quality. if I drop my quality a little bit, I could get easy. I could get probably 2 hours on one CD.
Yeah, but I've seen some of the video CDs are really nice.
Right.
And do you get that same kind of quality?
Pretty close. What I'm running at now is pretty close.
I know I've done VCDs for, you know, when I like rip a DVD or something. I'd be able to get those onto like two CDs without any problem.
Yep, I could do that now. And like I said, I can increase my quality a little bit and still do
DVD
that.
DVD rip is really good for that.
I'm going to check that out too. But it's pretty cool, man. It's pretty cool. I don't have a... Don't have any problems with it anymore, and I'm happy. You know, I'm happier than hell. I can go home and I can watch my little show. And it's, you know, it's not a whole lot of shows that I actually want to watch because, you know, most of the TV these days are crap. But that thing, like the, you know, the Kolchak shows, and I don't know, maybe it's some Battlestar Galactica episode or something like that. That's some cool stuff, and I never get to watch that time during the day, so that's what I'll use it for. And maybe taping some stuff that's on during the show. Even though there wasn't anything on tonight, but it's cool. You should do it. It cost me $50, man.
I have the card.
$50, and I didn't have
to
buy a TiVo.
I have one of those cards too. Unfortunately, I don't have a machine to go with it. That
I just don't have.
I've
never bothered to run a cable up here.
Dude, you already have the cable up here. All you need is a splitter downstairs. And pump it into the cable that already runs up here. Or did you pull that out?
No, the cable, ladder to the get cable out goes to the outside, so I had to take the outside apart.
But where does it go to the outside?
Right on the wall, hanging right outside.
Okay.
It's like they ran the cable straight in, up the wall.
Yeah, but does it terminate in a box downstairs or anything?
They got some kind of funky, like, adapter on it.
Oh, well, then you just go downstairs above the adapter and cut the damn thing off. Buy yourself a cable crimper.
Right.
And put a splitter on it.
We got those at work.
And split it into your, yeah. Split it into your main cable line. You got cable up here and you can record your show. I'm having a lot of fun with it, you know. My wife is picking on me because it's like my new toy. But, you know, hey, it was pretty cool. Anyway, the other thing that I wanted to, we're running out of time already, and I wanted to stick something else real quick. What is the name of Ubuntu Linux?
That's another Debian derivative, isn't it?
It is another Debian.
Another one of those Land of a Thousand Debian.
Land of a Thousand Debians.
Awful lot of Debian.
I actually downloaded that today and burned it on a CD. And I'm going to give it to one of you two, whoever thinks that they're going to have a chance to try it first. I have to say, on my first attempt, even though I don't want to bias you guys, right? My first attempt, I didn't like it at all. But I think the majority of the problems that I had were hardware problems.
The 286 you were installing it on?
No, actually, it was close, man. This was a Pentium 2350. That I was trying to put it on, and although the computer worked, and Ubuntu, I think that's what the name is, right? Ubuntu. Anyway, it had some real issues with the with this second IDE channel. Serious issues. Like it would boot up off the second IDE channel as soon as it went through detecting the hardware phase thing. It died, man. Locked up hard. Had to do the whole unplugging the computer thing to reboot it over and over and over again. I tried everything I could think of, and then I finally just, you know, went into the BIOS and disabled the second channel and put the CD on the first channel with a hard drive. And then I was able to install it, and it installed, you know, it was a happy little install. The installer that they have for this Debian derivative is much, much better than Debian's installer, which sucks. Okay.
Well, so you know, that's one thing I was going to say. You have all these derivatives of Debian now.
Right.
You can't swing a stick without hitting a Debian derivative.
Pretty much, right.
And just about everything, every time one of these comes out, one of the first things they say is the installer's is really good installer.
Better than the default Debian installer.
And, you know, that's one of the first things that...
Why can't the Debian guys get off their ass and put a
Debian,
different installer on it? Right?
Was not that it was a hard install. It was just like when I got to the point of, I always say this, picking my packages, having to sift through a couple thousand packages was just
right
a pain in the butt for someone who's used to picking their own packages
right.
on a less expansive, you know, option. But anyway, I wasn't too impressed with their installer back when I was using it, and that was one of the turnoffs. And I always hear a lot of people saying, what's wrong with the Debian installer? Well, if it is all that and it's supposed to be, then why are all these new ones being praised for such a better installer? I don't know. Maybe Sarge has it all better. Is it Sarge now?
No, the one that I grabbed was starts with a W.
Woody?
Woody. No, not Woody. No. I'm talking about the release of Ubuntu.
Ubuntu.
Right.
Ubuntu. Ubuntu. Yeah. No, I was talking about the version of Debian.
Oh, I didn't. I don't know. But I'll tell you,
I had too much problems with it. But then I dug up installation instructions off the web,
right,
on how to like bypass all that crap, because they're basically saying is you don't use their installer, you just say no to all that stuff, and then just do apt-gets for everything.
Right. Well, that's the second point that I wanted to make about this real quick, since we're already out of time, almost, is that I did this install, right, and the initial installer is really good on this as compared to the old Debian installer. I'm going to have people sending me hate mail now because I pronounce it wrong. So you go through it, and it's still this two-stage install thing, which I think someone mentioned that they're going to do away with the two-stage Debian install for Ubuntu.
Okay.
Right now they're still doing it, but I guess they're going to do away with it, which, of course, is, you know, I think that's a good thing because it's stupid. But you do the two-stage install, and it boots up the second time, and when it boots up the second time, you get stuck in this freaking apt-get hole again. Where, like, you don't have anything but a base distribution.
And that's Debian.
Right? And there's nothing. You know what I mean?
The second time through, you don't have anything when it first starts off.
No graphical, you know. And I'm trying to do this from work. You know, I'm on break. I'm sitting there pissing with a crap PC. Trying to do this real quick and see what I can come up with. And I get to this part where it's like select your packages, and previously in the install, it detected my network settings and says, do you want to use the network? Yeah, I want to use the network. Well, now it wants to get all the damn packages off the internet. So like, it wants to do a 3-hour freaking install of all the X and the GNOME stuff and everything. It wants to suck them off the freaking web now, and I think, you know, if I was doing it at home, it probably wouldn't have bothered me so much because I could have just, you know, let it go do its thing and I could have, you know, went and take a whiz and ate a sandwich or something. But at work, you know, I'm thinking Slackware, right? I can install Slackware and get X up and running in like a half hour, 45 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, every time you try and use a Debian system, you get the base thing up and running real quick. But then they want to apt-get all that other crap, and it takes 14 years, depending on
your speed, internet
connection. Some people got to do it over a freaking dial-up or something like that. That would be crazy. I don't understand why they can't do a one-stage install and have X on there in some form or another so that it's usable as a desktop system. Right off the install CD, like everybody else does, right? Nopix even gets this right, okay? Nopix is a Debian knockoff. Look at the installer for that, or that, you know, it just boots up and goes, and it's all pretty. And I'm not saying it's got to be pretty or anything like that, but damn, you know, at least dump X on my system so that I can use TWM if I need to go in and do something real quick.
But how are you comparing Nopix, a live bootable live CD, with installing a version of Debian?
Because Nopix is based on Debian.
Right, but that's built to be a live CD, so all
that's
on it.
I don't care what it's built to be like, man. It still is, you know, it's and Ubuntu, I guess, has a live CD somewhere, too, or is going to. But my whole point is, why can't they just do, you know, do a normal install so when you're done, you have some stuff there?
Isn't that called Zandros? Isn't that Debian-based?
I don't know. But, you know, I just want to have this stuff there. I want to be able to go in. It's like Slackware, man. You go in, you do the install, and when you're done with the install, you log in and type start X, and it goes. This thing, you log in, you type start X, and it looks at you like you're stupid because there is no start X. Why? Because there's no X. Because there's nothing on there. You know, you're back in the Debian app hell with no software.
If you pick X when you're doing that package selection stuff.
Well, no. You don't even get, you know, that's after the first reboot, the package selection.
Oh, yeah. It's all during the second.
It comes up and you want to pick your packages and stuff like that. You say, yeah, sure. Yeah, I pick my packages. And you pick your packages and it wants to download all the crap off the frickin' internet. It should already be there. That's my point.
That depends on how you set it up in the first on it, because you have choices whether you want to get all your stuff off the internet or you want to use the CDs.
Yeah, but it doesn't really prompt you in that manner. Do you want to use the app sources? Do you want to be able to use app sources off the internet?
Oh, yeah.
Be able to use app sources on the internet because, you know, you want to be able to get the newest stuff. Well, as soon as you say yes to that, it wants to download every damn thing off, you know. And, you know, I've never been a... once everything's configured, the app is cool. But I've never been a real big fan of setting things up initially with that. However, I do have to say... on Debian's defense, after their crappy installer, I run my mail server, which is a Spark 20 on Debian, and the reason I run it on Debian is because it's a tiny-ass little distribution. I'm running only the base distribution, right? No X. See, this is my big problem with Debian, getting X running on it.
and you end up running it without it anyway.
You know, that really is. That's my big problem with it. Because, like, I'm running my mail server on it, and all I did with that is I did the base install and then hacked everything else off and went in and did apt-get, you know, the crap that I needed to run my mail server, apt-get, imapd, and stuff like that. And that's all that's running on it. And for that purpose, beautiful. But I know a lot of people who are, you know, saying all these things about, you know, all these Debian distributions that are wonderful, wonderful desktop distribution. I can never get there. And, like, I'm an experienced Linux user, and I want to know what the hell it is I'm doing wrong that I can't manage to get a usable desktop Debian installation somehow. You know, am I that retarded? Like, I've used every freaking Linux distribution that's been out, and I can get them all to work, except I can't get a desktop install of Debian.
Where's the any key?
Yeah. I mean, I know I'm not that retarded. There's got to be. There's something that I'm missing that I'm just, you know, it's a stupid thing or something. And, you know, that's it. It probably would help a little bit because I'm actually one of those users that read the documentation if I get stuck. And that's another.
That can be confusing.
Yeah, that's another sore spot for Debian.
When I did the Mac installation from Debian, that you're bouncing all over now.
Yeah, that's a sore spot for Debian. Debian, your documentation stinks, big time bad.
And why don't you do something about it and write the documentation yourself?
No, because I like Slackware, and if somebody tells me that they're having a problem with the documentation on Debian, I'm going to tell them. Well, you know, here's a Slack 10 disk. All you got to do is follow the prompts down in numerical order, and when you reboot your computer, if you log in and type start X, you'll have a complete working desktop. You know, hooray! There's no. Okay, well, after you reboot and you do go through the apt-get in the task cell and do the thing, and you have to wait and download the packages off the internet, which may take several hours, and then you have to go through and do the configure, but you have to be careful about that because sometimes Debian doesn't like software packages that are not free software, and you have to fight with those, and you have to do, you know, and apply the patches and blah blah blah. No. You know what I mean? It shouldn't be that damn hard. Just go Slackware unless you're, but like I said, I But I'm not gonna completely write it off, right? I am going to try and do this again. I will lick this problem that I'm having with Debian. All right. Like I said, I use it for a server, and it works damn good for that.
Well, no problem. Off my homepage, there was a my installations there for my notes for installation on a PC.
Mm-hmm.
On that one. So.
I have to check it out, man. But is that going to be like up to date kind of stuff? Well, it's
well,
Debian.
No,
it'll
get you started on there. And once you do an apt-get update and apt-get upgrade, you'll be good to go.
Yeah, I will do it, though. I'm going to give this Ubuntu another shot, maybe even two, because, you know, they're already good in my book because they have a PPC release. It's another PowerPoint I wanted to mention real quick. Those of you
PowerPoint.
Yeah, that's right. Point of power. I wanted to mention, for those of you, like all of us here, who run Linux on your PPC, your Macintosh or your IBM, big news. Ubuntu came out. And the reason I'm giving Ubuntu, I have to back up, right? The reason I'm giving Ubuntu another shot is because Ubuntu isn't even like, it's a pre-1 release, right? It's not even a full release yet. So I'm going to give it another shot and we'll do it. But anyway, Ubuntu's cool because they have a PPC port for Linux, and some people are saying that it's really cool and rock solid and stable. So check that out. Also, like Alan just mentioned, Yellow Dog 4 is out, sort of. It's released. The final release candidate is done. They are currently sending it right now as we speak to be glass mastered for the CD-ROMs. So you can expect to, if you have like one of them subscription things, you can start.
Say, if you have their subscription service, you can download it now.
You should be able to download it now. The rest of us will have to wait, you know, a month or so, and then those of you who ordered CDs will have to wait a couple weeks too, probably. Also, Crux 2.0 PPC has just been released.
Crux.
So, and that's kind of cool too.
Your world up link.
And that you're running that right now.
So I'm running right here.
2.0.
No. 2.0 release candidate.
Okay.
3. I didn't up. I didn't.
You gonna go, are you going to up it to?
Eventually.
The 2.0 thingy.
Yeah, I want to get around to it.
But yeah, so that's the big news in the Linux PPC kind of world. And I kind of lost my train of thought. But yeah, what the hell? It was time. It's time for us to go anyway. So.
Dun dun dun.
And I have successfully to talk the entire freaking show and had absolutely not a damn thing to say.
Damn
that's
right.
That's the way it normally is, though.
It's a sad thing.
I mean, Dan wrote on the blog today, oh, I got these couple of things to say. I hope Link has something to say. And I read it at work today going, oh, God. You know? Please, God, help me.
I read that all the time and say, oh, God.
Please, God, help me because I have nothing at all to talk about, right? And my head is pounding from this headache thing. And I came here
done
and
a good job,
talked for an entire hour. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Anything you guys want to add before we close this up?
I was just going to add my...
Thanks, Dan.
Week.
Anyway.
I was going to add my week's experience using Safari.
Yes.
And I personally like it a lot. I think it's been really great. It's been convenient. It's there when I need it. I can take it to work with me. I mean, I got six books on my bookshelf.
Here's
right
a
now.
Question, though. You're accessing all these books through the web, right?
Right.
What's to stop you from getting a whole book?
It's really difficult to do that.
Is it like some software package, or are you just reading it off the website?
It is off the website. They have like an ASP server, and I guess, you know, you probably could wget, but it's more, as you know, kind of a pain in the butt to actually wget that.
Oh.
Well, let me see. I'll find out.
Okay. Well, you know, I was just interested. I'm like,
no, you had a good point. And that's one of the first things I asked.
I'm like, you know, if you're paying for this to see it on the, what's the hell to stop you from getting a whole damn website?
Or at least just saving the web pages.
Yeah.
To make a book out of.
Well, you could do that, but then you'd have to go to all of them. But if you wget it, you could just suck it all down at one time, right? But I don't know. Was a thought. I mean, it's probably not the idea of things that O'Reilly wants to happen.
I don't think it's what they want you to be doing, no.
But, you know, by the same token, I can see some legitimate uses for that. You pay for the service, right? say you have it at home, you're reading a book, you want to take it, read it on the train or something with you on your laptop, get it down your laptop, you can have a local copy to read on the way to, train ride or something.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, there's legitimate kind of uses for that. Probably not what anybody I know would do with it, but.
Yeah, it's a little more difficult than just W getting it down. But, I mean, you do get download tokens. You can download, like, 5 chapters with the premium, basic premium plan. You can download 5 chapters a month.
A month?
Or you can download, you can buy more tokens to download tokens. But you could just sit there and copy and paste them into a
right.
But you get to the point where
I thought that's curious.
The first thing I thought of too, was to stop me from pulling this information down myself and nothing really when you come down to it. If you want to sit there and do that, that's up to you. I mean, you're kind of breaking the rules there, but still, I think it's really nice because, I mean, by and large, I have all those books over there. How many times do I actually go over there and read them?
Right.
And when I want something, I have to dig through there to find it. And if I'm at work, I'm screwed. Then, I got to wait till I come home. But,
see, that's where I like buying the, you go into the store or the shows and stuff like that, and you buy the O'Reilly bookshelf books.
Right.
The hardcover books, and they come with a CD that has the stuff on it. I like buying those, man. Because, I throw them up on my website. And a password protected part of my website. That way I can get a hold of them from work and wherever I happen to be.
Which ones do you have?
Sometimes. O'Reilly CD bookshelf. And boy, you'd have to look.
Yeah, what's nice, I mean, I find nice about their selection is, I mean, it's been nice that you get access to all the latest updates, all the books. If whatever you're working on, that month, you can get a bunch of books on that.
Okay, I got
everything at your convenience.
Got the Linux web server CD bookshelf, O'Reilly reference library, and several other bits and pieces, Unix hints and hacks, Unix Unleashed, blah, 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 blah. That kind of stuff. But on the bookshelf one, it's Linux in a Nutshell, 3rd edition, Running Linux, 3rd edition, Apache, the Definitive Guide, 2nd edition, MySQL and MSQL, programming Perl, DBI, CGI programming, and then, like I said, this is, you can go out and buy this and get this crap on CD and have it to take with you. O'Reilly Reference Library's got the Network CD bookshelf, which has a bunch of stuff in it. Is that RAIN?
No, I think that's a plane going
by. Unix CD bookshelf, which has a bunch of different stuff in it. Web reference library, web developers library, a bunch of stuff. Perl CD bookshelf, and a Java reference library. And these all have, books under them. Unix CD bookshelf has Unix Power Tools, Unix in a Nutshell, System 5 Edition, Learning via the Editor, Sid Nock, Learning Corn Shell, and Learning Unix Operating System. So there's lots of stuff.
How much did you pay? You bought those at the show, right? The shows? Did you get a discount on those or something?
No, I don't think I did. I think I bought both of these just at Walden Books or something like that.
They're $100 or something, aren't they?
No, it wasn't even, it was 50 or something like that. They weren't even that expensive. Considering the amount of stuff that you get with it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
You get the one, and it comes with, it's a book itself, which is probably one of the books. I forget which book it was. It was Linux in a Nutshell or something like that. And that included the Linux web server CD bookshelf CD with it, so that was pretty cool. It's a good deal. You 50, 60 bucks, and you get five books worth of stuff on there. And you want to, you can dump it on your website and have access at it wherever you happen to be, which is a lot more convenient than, like Dan said, you can carry books around with you all the time. You can't read your book when you're at work and need the information and it's at home kind of thing.
Yeah, the only downside is it's hard to read it on a crapper. Unless you want to take your computer.
Take your laptop, man.
But then if you're somewhere and you don't have wireless access into that bathroom.
So we just got to rig you up with a Wi-Fi-enabled crapper, Dan.
Oh, I got a Wiffy enabled crapper in there right now. You know what's the most weird thing? There's something wrong with that airport because the machine, because the connection downstairs, like I was upstairs with my with the Apple laptop and OS X, and the connection to that was lower than the connection to the one downstairs. So there's something funky with that airport. I don't know what's
could
going
be
on.
Just where it's located, and you know maybe you got
too much interference,
metal in the wall, or a few pipes or something in the bathroom. You never know. Anyway, guys, we gotta cut this out because we're way over time already.
So I guess
quarter
expect
after
to
again.
See a new mirror coming soon.
Yeah, new mirror. Thank you. And more, wait, you know, because if you guys can, you guys can hook us up with more.
Oh, God.
Hook us up with more. Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
And, you know, please
help
us out.
We hope to live to see next week here after Dan.
Yeah, please help us out with, you know, Pat's little project he's got going on with going through the episodes and marking them all, a little timeline, what we're talking about. That's really cool. And also helping us get these, contact us about helping us get these shows up.
Well, I guess Pat will be in the studio next
week. On archive.org, excuse me.
Pat will be in the studio next week.
Yeah, really. That'd be
that's
cool.
What he said he was going to come by.
That'd be cool, yeah.
You better clean.
Right on.
You better clean so we get some.
Where are we going to hang him from, the ceiling fan or something? Because there's not much room in here.
What do you mean clean? It's it hasn't really gotten any messier than when I first cleaned it up. Has it?
No, it's actually looking pretty good compared to what it used to.
Okay. Anyway, good night, guys. This is Link.
This is Alan.
Bored down.
Yeah.
Good night.
Have a good one.
See ya. Pulling the flint.
Pulling the flint tech show. Pulling the flint tech show.